our meeting. A slightly different meeting once again today, because we are not having the culprits, so to speak, in front of us. It's more like the kind of meetings we have with the Auditor General, where we get information to then decide. You know, like the conflict of interest report. They gave us a long list of who does what, who does not do what, and then we decided this one and that one and that one must come. So I suppose and suspect that today the information we'll get will assist us to make a determination on what to do. Once again, I know, comrades, you all switch your cellular phones off, so today, because it's empty, I'll just say it in passing, that these other people must switch their cellular phones off, because then they are already closed. Mr. Chitangan, you can introduce yourself and your colleague. We are the same team that is always here. Is it on?
Sorry. Chairperson, I'm sorry, just before we start the meeting, I was just instructed by my superiors to ask with regard to the programming of SCOPA. The recommendations that we've made in our planning session as to the program. When will those dates be available for the calling the municipalities and also the Vrede project, and then also the final draft report of Treasury, while Treasury is here, the release of that final report that was, according to the minister's letter, already in the domain of SCOPA, but those three issues. If you could just give me some clarity with regards to the program on those issues, I would appreciate it. Thank you.
I had said, or we had agreed that day, that the best route, because that Vrede project is done by a provincial department. So as national parliament, we cannot directly jump into that project. What we need to do after I will have gone through those documents is to make an inquiry via the national department, and once we receive a report from national department, it's only then. I think that one, as well as the housing one, we need to send them via the national department, and when we receive a report from the national department, it's then that we can say, okay, these are the findings, what do we do about them? The other one on the Auditor General, I thought we had agreed that since it is a complaint against the Auditor General, it must be sent to the Standing Committee on the Auditor General, because they work with him, and he accounts to that committee. Pardon?
The one on the AG, is it with regard to the municipality?
Yes, Ekurhuleni Municipality, yes.
Has it been referred to the AG?
No, I said that that complaint should go to SCOEC, the Standing Committee on the Auditor General, because it is that body that scrutinizes the work of the Auditor General. The strengths, the weaknesses, the lapses, the commissions, the omissions by the Auditor General. Because that complaint, when I look at it, it alleges that the Auditor General did not do his work according to the public expectations of the public audit. It is not saying, although the secondary question could be, what about the actual corruption itself?
And the consequences.
Yes, but then that comes once it is established that indeed it is correct that the Auditor General did not do his job. So that must first be established, because at this stage it's an allegation.
And the final one on the Treasury, the final Treasury report, the third Treasury report that there was a bit of a confusion whether it was submitted to SCOPA or not. Can you give me some clarity on that report? I think you last time said there's an indication that the minister and yourself will deal with this and you will come back to the committee, if I understand correctly.
No, I said I said the minister did give me a call to clarify that they were trying to deal with a few issues around it, but that once that is done, it will be forwarded back to us. But there was no time frame. I'd spoken to him before we went to the meeting. Beyond the meeting, there was no commitment necessarily to engage him. Well, we can follow up. I think there's now been, say, a month or so, and then we can find out what the position is.
Thank you. Okay. Will we be able to perhaps, when we reconvene, at least have that clarity with regards to that report? Because, Chairperson, I'm flagging this because the report is in the public domain. It's already in the press. There are people having the full report, and SCOPA, who's alleged to have the report, we don't seem to be with what the status of the report currently is.
All right. I'll give complete assurance, but I want us to get into the business of today. Complete assurance.
Thank you, Chairperson. I just wanted to raise that in terms of the program, I think the program that I have.
Yeah, no, continue.
The program that I have, the one that we have agreed upon in the last plenary meeting, I think Friday we are having a plenary according to that program. So I was going to suggest that why can't we flag everything that we discussed so that we continue, because seemingly today we have a very long day. So it will be better that we finish up some of the things earlier so that we get some energy drink for later tonight.
All right. Okay.
Thank you.
Then. Can we get into the business of the day? Yes, go
ahead. Yes, you are getting into the business, Chairperson. But what is the standing of Soy in Treasury? Well, I thought that there's a William that has been appointed to do procurement, and we have Sport Fanskar. We expected them here, more than Soy.
Yeah,
and
no.
It seems as if you are not informing us why it's him.
Well, I don't know the gentleman sitting next to him. It might be Mr. Matebul. It's not him. Okay. That's why I said they must introduce themselves, and then we'll take it up from there. Stangan.
Thanks, Chair and members. My name is Solish Stangan from Office of the Chief Procurement Officer, National Treasury.
Thanks, Chair. My name is Bukani Ndaba from the OCPO. Sorry?
All right. Any word from your seniors? Because I just asked Mr. Kali here to check Tommy. Just for purpose of confirmation, because whenever we send correspondence, it is sent to the Director General. So if there's any reporting or engagement from National Treasury, our expectation is that it is the DG who must come here, but we see National Treasury seems to be an exception in terms of how it does things. So in his absence, well, we had thought Skalk would be here. We understand he has been replaced, but we assumed that he was responsible for preparing this presentation. But that nonetheless, if he's not here, his successor, Mr. Matebula, would be leading the team. I don't know if there's any... I want to hear from them first. Let them tell us if there's anything that explains that situation, just to get a sense.
Thanks. when the invitations are received from Parliament, the DG and the Deputy Director General sit and allocate different officials to different committees, and that information is communicated to the parliamentary office, and the information is also communicated to the relevant committee, and us as officials will be informed to say for this session it's Soli and Vukani who will represent National Treasury, and that's what happened.
Chairperson, you said when you started the meeting that today is one of those friendly days. So with me being friendly and not even discussing it, can we ask Mr. Soli to phone his seniors and ask them to come? We'll adjourn the meeting for 10 minutes. Because the person who's in charge of deviations, it's not even them. And we want that person to come and account and tell us why did he do what or she did what they did in terms of the deviations in throughout all the departments. So I'm going to suggest that we adjourn for 10 minutes or 20 minutes. Let Soli call his seniors and let them come and take us through the report. Thanks, Chair.
That's not being friendly.
It's public knowledge, so he is not appointed to this position. There's a William that must account with an account when Pascal was being removed. And it would be very unfair on us to demean Parliament's territory when Soli himself can explain that how did he come to be here. Well, the DG, the person who's supposed to account, is not here. Now, Soli, who usually visits us, is here. Now, I don't understand that. Public knowledge is that there are people who are supposed to be accounting, and Willie is not coming. And we're not getting a proper explanation for why is he not coming. We're not involved in administration, Soli. And you know that we don't entertain what you do in your department. We want people to come and account. And you can't give us an administrative problem. We want somebody who's going to come and account. And we see in the media that you are not appointed to that position. Skalk was moved, was with better knowledge about what is going to happen, and Willie is now supposed to come. This is weakening Parliament. It's got nothing to do with you personally. This is a true strategy by Treasury to weaken Parliament and ignoring Parliament's relevance and undermining Parliament. This is quite clear that this is what is the attitude of your DG and your ministers. That they are ignoring us here. They are undermining us. And I don't think, Chairperson, I would go along with what Kuno is proposing. Let's get the relevant people to come and account. What in the DG, there's no explanation why the DG is not even here. And so it's not an accounting officer even in terms of the PFMA. And then we can't treat Treasury. Treasury has been avoiding to be accountable to their DG. And they had observer. So it has been our observer for all these years. Now we can't alleviate him and appoint him here today and make him an accountable officer. He knows the rules. So he knows the rules quite clearly, that we need the DG who makes the decision. When we said we don't want Linda, we didn't mean that we want Soli. We can't have a different way of doing things. Treasury must learn to respect Parliament, Chairperson. If we're going to start on this note with Treasury, we're just going to be in problem.
Thank you. Chair, she had the hand up before.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, my fear is that as Comrade Nyame was saying, Soli has been observing in our committees and giving us guidance in terms of what's happening in Treasury. But This one is precisely at the chief procurement office, and the person in charge there must be able to give us answers, because the gentleman who's from the office cannot account on the final say and the final decision as to why and how did they get to a decision of allowing deviations and allowing the procurement processes to be breached. So the necessary person who is the ultimate leader who's providing leadership in procurement offices must be here with the DG, who signs off everything, and in terms of the PFMA, he is ultimately the person we need. So that person must be here, please.
Just to stress, as we decide, National Treasury is today giving us deviations of all the departments, not of Treasury itself. So they are not here to account on what has happened at National Treasury. They are merely giving us information about what's happening in other departments. Professor?
Chair, thank you. Chair, I want to 100% agree with you. I agree with my colleagues that it's unfortunate that certain key officials aren't here, but I do think it's important to see the context of what we're doing today. Today is an informational session. It literally is a briefing. Treasury are giving us a briefing as to what is going on. When we have engagements with the AG, we don't expect the Auditor General to be here with the AG. On every occasion, when we get departments coming, when the AG comes in to brief us on CETA, the AG is not here, but representatives from the AG are here to represent and to give us the information on that particular department. I think we need to see it in that context. The other question I wanted to ask you, and only you can answer this, is this may give us a framing and a context, is who was invited? If you invited XXX and they have not arrived, then I think that is demeaning your authority as chair of SCOBE. If you invited specific people and they didn't pitch. But I certainly see no point in what I, going through the presentation, was an extremely interesting presentation from our point of view, a good learning exercise from our point of view, and to get the input of Mr. Chichangano here, who's very experienced, I think would be very useful to the committee. So I'm registering my concern that Willie Matabula is not here, but I'm still saying we should continue.
Okay. Yes,
no, I thought that team will realize that, Honorable, that I'm leading this particular one. The fact that Treasury is not going to survive my question, it doesn't come here or there. It, the IFMS is linked to this, because under them, SOL and all other, the processes of procurement are supposed to have helped us then. Couldn't be so many years that nothing has ever been said. So it doesn't make, I'm just clarifying that it doesn't mean that Treasury won't be direct. I was going to direct my first question to Treasury, also the IFMS, that how did it occur under their own expertise. And how did it then procurement throughout those processes, if not, what has happened? So my first question was going to be directed to IFMS chairperson. So there was no way that I would expect solely. I would have expected this DG, because when you were saying to the DG last week, you told him seated there that you finish on this one, next week you are back in front of us as the DG to come in. That's what you said. And I heard you properly, and I re-emphasize that he is coming back. Now, typical of him, he doesn't even write a letter of apology to you. He ignores you, he ignores Parliament, and then he sends a junior person into our front so that we must listen to him, you see. But we do all in that only when we are really listening and soliciting guidance. But I'm saying that my first question is linked to IFMS and how did procurement ignore IFMS for all these years, since its own formation. And I wanted information concretely as a follow-up to that work that we did last week. And I'm saying, also you see that the biggest challenge, if you want to protection, you must have recognized that at some stage in this committee, we have raised objections about Soli and his conflict with different tenders that are taking place in the department. If that is the route, I'm prepared also to follow it up, and I'm going to show those tenders that the way he's conflicted. So it's not going to be a kind meeting. It's not going to be a meeting where I'm foot-shooting and looking for solutions from Soli. I'm talking about his work. And I, the one who raised it on the day that there is some conflict that Soli is involved in. But I don't want to go that route now. The route I'm following now is, where is the DG and where is the person appointed to do this job when Van Schalk has been removed? This is not what we're doing. It's clear that Treasury or the Minister or the DG is doing these things in continuity of undermining Parliament. It's a matter of principle. And we raise it with all departments that are in front of us. The Auditor General will give him because he sends people to come and tell us what is happening. Give us a letter that says Soli must represent the department. And the DG is replacing the DG now. He's a newly appointed acting DG.
Sorry, Chair, I've got to come in there. With all due respect to my senior friend, and I mean that, today was scheduled in the program as a briefing. When I see the word hearing, then I go and do a lot of preparation because then we know it's adversarial. Okay? When we see the word briefing, we read it, and we say, okay, here now today we have to learn, we have to receive information. And I understand, we were speaking earlier, that this is an efficient committee, and we ask questions if we hear or not, but are we turning this into a hearing? Because if this is a hearing, then I need to know what the framing, the context is. Or is it just, I was fully, and I'm sure you are fully under the impression that today was a briefing. That we were going to learn information today and then take it forward and decide what to do with it. But please, you must declare this is a hearing or an information session. But I don't want to stifle Honourable Boy. He must do what he needs to do.
Okay. Comrade Shulan, then Comrade Kunum.
Chairperson, thank you. I think from my point of view, Chairperson, is that in terms of the PFMA, deviations happen under is the DG who must ask for deviations. And probably in the Treasury is also the DG in the Treasury who must okay those deviations. And prior to the meeting that we had last week with Treasury, where the Minister was here and the DG was here, you mentioned that you're still going to meet them. And they didn't indicate to us that they are not going to be here. I'm not sure because Honourable Tim has asked if those invitations were specifically saying who must come. But in terms of us, Chairperson, of doing what we're supposed to do, we're supposed to be briefed by the responsible person. I agree it's a briefing. But it's a briefing that you must get an understanding how deviations work. And we also agree that Mr. Soli has been in Treasury. But Chairperson, we've all, in all most cases, stated that it's better to have a person who's responsible to come and meet the committee so that when questions are being asked, it's not a hearing, but questions for clarity. That is accountability to person in terms of who's supposed to respond. So, Chairperson, in terms of our understanding is that Treasury knew that they will be here today, the DG, unless, Chairperson, you say the DG has written an apology to say that I'm not going to be there. And then even Mr. Matebula, who has read about him in papers, is not even here. And then what are we supposed to do? We're not distinguishing Chairperson to say that we are disregarding Mr. Soli as an official from Treasury, but we are distinguishing in terms of the roles that are played by different officials in the department. Thank you.
Comrade Kuno.
Thank you, Chairperson. Without repeating what my colleagues have said, that's why I said in the beginning as well that the PFMA is clear. The person who okays the deviations is the DG. So we can't have a less than a DG today. We need to ask the DG what's happening so that we get a clear picture. But again, Chairperson, I tried to look at our program. There's no way in the program where we're going to have again, not briefing session, what do you call it? We're not going to have them again as treasurer. So, like I said in the beginning, let them call their seniors and ask them where they are. Honorable Chulani, she's right. Last week when we met them, we told them that today we're meeting them. It's a public note. They all know that they were supposed to be here today. So if they're not here today, we can rather agenda meeting or wait for them, wait for 30 minutes or so that somebody can come. The DG and the Chief Procurement Officer, both of them should come and tell us the procurement through deviations. Thanks, Chair.
Jefferson, I thought that my colleague Tim was correct in saying this is an information session. It is not an interrogation. It specifically, Treasury was called just to present to us, and I believe that the presentation should continue.
Just switch off. Okay. Let me give copy here, Comrade Kekan. Comrade Kekan?
No, Chair, I was just trying to understand actually what the situation is. But my view is, let's not set the precedent, because it would be wrong for us to follow incorrect precedents. And I fully agree with that is my colleagues here, that somebody senior, particularly the DG, I'm not talking about senior in any department, because the accounting officer is the DG. In the department. Normally when the DG is here, the DG would bring in a relevant official. But if there was no communication as to whether the DG is coming, maybe that individual is supposed to be here. I fully agree that if the DG is not here, then we might not have a fruitful meeting. My proposal would be, if possible, let's get that individual, but the concern is if that individual is in Pretoria, it simply means we must call off the meeting.
Mente?
Can I have one last remark? I just want to remind the committee that today was scheduled as a briefing, okay? And I'll remind my colleagues again that when the AG comes to brief us on trade and industry, they don't send their whole team, they send one or two advisors. If we send this team now back to Pretoria and bring another one back to down to do a briefing, does that not tantamount to fruitless and wasteful expenditure that we are supposed to stand against? I'm just raising the flag, Chief.
Okay. No, I said Mente should respond, and I'll come to you. She's spoken once, I want to hear after listening to everything.
Chair, I understand that we said the briefing, but at the center of this briefing, there's deviation. There's only one person who approves deviation, and we want to know why were they approved. There could be different DGs of different departments, but they don't approve their own deviation. Treasury does. So that's the center of this whole discussion. With AG, Timmy, AG gives us this audit report. Audit report can be given by any other person. But here we want to know why did you grant a deviation? Was it reasonable? Did you get reasons that were fair enough for you to do it? Can you be able to persuade this committee to say, no, I gave it to rent the tents simply because people were out in the cold. Those are the things that we want from the chief procurement office and the DG.
All right, let's tie it down. Yes, Commander.
Going to encourage you to give us a response. What did allow us, going to encourage you not to deviate from the PSMA. Stick to it. It says you need accounting officers. You see, Chair, I was just going to make you one example. Case 88, presidential visit in Kwaha for the deviation. It's called urgent. So you won't be able to tell us. You need that. The presiding officer, the DG himself, to say that why did he have to give it to the president just like that? On the basis of urgent presidential visit. You see, it doesn't rest with him, it rests with those that put up the final signature. And that's what we want to do. It's a nice, well informed documentation, but it needs the decision maker to explain to us why did he make and allow such decision to take place within the institution. Because these are precedents, Chairperson. What we read out here is going to be said tomorrow by department.
What number is that?
No number. You know I'm a good level. It's 86. No, it's 88. It's 88 in Costa. In the municipalities. The president got an urgent presidential visit. I'm just showing you.
Is it 88?
Yes.
Not the same as my 88.
No, we are not dealing with the content of... We are dealing with the principle. Let's deal with the principle.
No. I just wanted to be where he is.
No, I could see that the officials were prepared to give us a response on that issue. We are not dealing with that. We are dealing with the principal.
Okay, that's fine. I don't want to put the officials in the midst of our discussion because they are ours. Except that I just need one clarity. When departments deviate in terms of just one technical point that I want clarity on. When, in terms of, I think, practice note 32, is it, that when such decisions are done, they must be reported within 10 working days to the relevant treasury and the auditor general. What is the purpose of that reporting? Is it information? Is it seeking condonation or what?
Thank you. We were going to explain. The deviations are dealt with in terms of Treasury Regulation 16A 6.4.
Yeah.
In terms of emergency.
No, that's fine.
I just want to show you how is that.
No.
Full supply ship.
No, what I want is very pointed. Once it is reported to Treasury, what is Treasury supposed to do? What does Treasury do?
If the current regime that is there, that if you approve a deviation as an accounting officer and it's emergency, it's sole supply ship. They report to Treasury and AG within 10 days. Our role is just to assess and see whether
the evidence that they are giving that this is emergency is indeed there. That's why you see most
and,
of
and then after assessing?
That's why when the AG now audits, most of those deviations that were due to poor planning and there's no evidence that is emergency, they are regarded as irregular expenditure. They will then come to us for condonation. Emergency source supply ship, they approve
on the plan
on
the
board
of chairperson.
Or they approve
on their own. We will only report what they have given to us.
You see, chairperson.
All right.
That's why it needs deciding office. It doesn't need so. It doesn't go along with the spirit of team that is a briefing that will be keeping quiet and sit like a civil in their chairs. Those things are contradicting. That's why I want those ones that are deciding.
Yeah, no.
And we want to clarify that issue first, chairperson, before you start going into other issues.
No, that's
we're going to raise our appetite.
No. We've had nice breakfast. We're all full now. So, you see, the point that I wanted to check is that the deviation, they are approved in the department by the DG of the department, not by National Treasurer. Or what is the role? That's why I was asking, what is the role? Because if National Treasurer then approves, then your point then becomes substantive. Because then they must explain. I've seen, I think on this one of National Department, supported, partially supported, not supported. So that's why I wanted to get the role of National Treasurer. If they are the ones who do the approval, certainly the officials at DDG level going down, they will do the technical work, but it goes out under the signature of the DG or DDG or whatever, and then that person will then have to explain on what basis was ABCD supported and on what basis ABCD was not supported. But if the approvals are done by the accounting officer of that department, then National Treasury plays no role, and they merely give us information. I think that was the point I wanted to establish. And unfortunately, Mr. Stangano attends a lot of meetings. I wanted a direct response. So National Treasury does not approve deviation, or does National Treasury approve deviation?
There are situations where If you want, for example, to deviate from competitive bidding, and a department submit an application, then National Treasury will approve that deviation.
Or not approve.
Correct. Let's take, for example, the SASA one for last year. In that case, it would have been submitted to National Treasury. But before it submitted to National Treasury, it would have been approved by the executive authority of the institution. In that case, National Treasury will say we decline. But what you see in the list is a combination. The majority of the deviations are those that the accounting officers, through source supply ship and emergency, are allowed to do it and only report. When they report, the reason was that they should be transparent, because all procurement behind closed doors and windows, they have got high risk. That's why they said, okay, approve it, but report to Treasury. Then last, in 2016, Treasury issued an instruction note,
yeah,
which said the risk that we are seeing in deviation are not mainly in source supply sheet, because source supply sheet is one. You must attach a letter to say this is the only company that can do this thing in South Africa. Then there's no need for you to do competitive bidding, because you can approach that supply. But they were abusing single sourcing. Single sourcing, in other words, is...
Chair, you said you wanted clarity, and the debate is now continuing. clearly this thing needs an accounting officer. So you're not going to shortcut it.
Yeah, no,
the PFMA puts that in, that you should use the accounting officer to come and account to SCOMPA. And solely is not an accounting officer.
Right. No, what is...
Because if you wanted to do that, Chairperson, you can do it to all departments, call experts in that department. We stick to accounting officer, so that the accounting officer is the one that deliberates and give us the insight of what is the nature of their decisions are. But Treasury, we are assisting Treasury to undermine Parliament.
Mm. No. What I wanted clarified in the spreadsheet is that there are deviations where Treasury is merely informed by the accounting officer of that department. But then there are also deviations where National Treasury must approve. Right? So what you have here would be a combination. I wanted us to have that clarity. So there are deviations where National Treasury took a decision, meaning maybe the DG or the DDG would have taken a decision.
I think you're asking very interesting questions, because those are the questions that I wanted to ask you based on the presentation today, just in terms of this document that I had last night. But I was not aware of the other document that the Honourable Boy is referring to, which has damning information and certainly needs to be interrogated, that we interrogate the DG of the department. I understand that completely. But in terms of the briefing, I thought it was useful, because, you know, asking all those questions is very interesting to me, because I would like to follow up with what is the regard to the thresholds, and when is this exception, and when is that exception, and when can this deviation be done. So I don't know whether this will be useful if we can have a presentation, Mr. Boy. Just on this document, but I fully understand Mr. Boy's frustration when going into the actual interrogation of the alarming evidence that we have before us today. Certainly that can't wash, only with Mr. Solly being present. So perhaps you should, I would like to find the balance perhaps to say, yes, we need some information with regards to your questions at this point, just with regards to the first document, that we run through it, and that we take note, and then we call an urgent meeting with the relevant DG to come, that we have a proper interrogation, and Mr. Boy can lead us in that regard.
All right.
Mr.
Khan. Now, Chair, I would appeal to you that let's call off the meeting, and maybe as that is a team, remain behind and discuss this whole thing. And from there, I think we can come up, that is, with the way forward as to what are we going to do. My appeal to you would be that.
Okay.
Because, unfortunately, we are not making any progress.
Okay. Comrade Boy?
Chairperson, I want you to encourage you to get the DG to come. No other person must account. It won't be the DG. Because these things have got... Even the amounts that are involved are different. You get small amounts, you get big amounts, and you want to know that how do you make an intervention on a small amount. The information provided here doesn't give those answers. And it's quite clear that the DG must come and account. Why should we treat Treasury differently? If there's a reason, I don't understand. And even on top of that, he then announces a new person, and that even that person doesn't turn up. And you don't even receive a letter of apology. If you want us to allow you to be treated like that, say so. But it doesn't affect you. It affects corporate, the institution, and it affects Parliament. That people can just ignore your words. If you agree with Treasury has been treating us like this year. But overall, consistently want to prove what we have been saying, that Treasury has not been genuine. These things are not yesterday. They are old stories that have been happening in the Department of Treasury. And we want to be clear that the DG must hear that in his minister that this thing is not a clean house that they are presiding over. Treasury has got many problems. And that's why I wanted us to be consistent in how we want to unfold this particular package. we want to hear properly what has been happening in the department. There are huge amounts, there are small amounts, and the new DG must be able to account to this thing, that what has been happening here.
All right. No, that's fine. I think myself and Tim are a minority, and I believe in democratic centralism. The minority is subordinate to the majority. That's a simple principle. But what I want to check, Mr. Chitanga, is, are they two, this prison, this prison? Okay. No, I found them on my table and I thought these are repeats. So right, no, that's fine. What I want to check with you is it possible on each bed to separate those to categorize them on the basis of these are categories where National Treasury's approval was sought. These are categories where were merely informed, or to say under emergency, these are the cases, under sole supplier, these are the cases, or something like that. Because when I looked at the one I got, it contained everything, almost, except that maybe the suppression might have been national and local and all that kind of stuff.
It's possible. If there's a column where we put RISI, if we check, it's one that we sort them according to the institution.
The
deviation from this institution.
This institution, correct.
And then if you look at the reason for deviation, either it's continuity of service, it's there. But we can add another column where whatever information you want, because this one was done for the purpose of publication quarterly, because we publish them on a quarterly basis. From, if you check, you find that it's deviations and expansion. All of the, for 2016-17, they were published on a quarterly basis so that people should have access to that information. What we did was only to consolidate 2016-17, and then we have information for the first quarter, and from April to June. Therefore, when you check, you see the deviations, the expansions for the previous financial year. Then you will have deviations and expansion for the first quarter for the current year.
Oh, no, that's fine. You have my full sympathies. I know you are the technocrats. You are the people who do the actual work behind the scenes. But in terms of responsibility and accountability, I'm sure, comrades, if at least Mr. Matibula was here, or Skalk was here as the head of that unit, it would have mitigated quite greatly for the absence of the DG. If deviations and expansions did not need at some point Treasury approval, I think I said there's no reason for us not to continue, because it will just be sharing of information. But if Treasury must then account on why it took certain decisions or did not take certain decisions, I think it does create some bit of a challenge in terms of saying there should be accountability on your part, even if you recommend it. A particular position, at the end of the day, somebody takes that decision, firms it up, and it becomes the official position, and should be able to, you know, to talk to it. So now, when can we have Treasury? I want us to agree on a date here in the evening. Because during the days, next week who will visit SAA and SAA Express. But I also understand trade and industry is requesting postponement. I have not yet had time to listen to what the issues are. But I would love that we agree on a date here and engage National Treasury. Yes, complete.
No, I wanted to ask to do it outside here, Chairperson. You see, I've not finished the fact, why is the DG not here? Now, it becomes a problem. Either this DG is cooperating with Parliament or not. Or do we have to go to Sabine to get him to come and do his work? Unless you provide us with some reason that why is he not here. If you don't have the reason, this man is undermining Parliament or a woman or whoever it is. And within that environment, you can't predetermine dates for him because he's going to ignore you. Because it's becoming his culture to ignore Parliament. And we need to fight against that culture. Because there's too many problems in Treasury for us to be treated in the manner of being. Because he's got a lapsing mind. It might have lapsed again that he's got a date with Parliament. So I'm just saying that ask your staff to engage them and find a proper date before we put the date here and it doesn't turn up and then it's the beginning of another fight. It's just a persuasion.
It's the DG around.
I'm not sure. No, it's not. It's attending the BRICS meeting.
Attending the BRICS meeting in Beijing. When is BRICS ending? No, you know what I wanted us to do, Congress? Because I don't want this thing to then disappear in the midst of all our being busy.
But give respect to Soli. Soli doesn't run the diary. The diary is run by that office. There's somebody responsible. Write to that person and get the data person and you get down to business. You see, because if I'm going to ask Soli here, Soli is going to commit and then the next thing they're going to fight with him. It's not his job.
No.
Just let's take him out there.
No, I'm talking to us here.
No, just let's get the office to apply properly. Let there be engagement and it be sorted out properly. Was he had ignored Parliament today. He doesn't want to account.
There was a suggestion that we stay behind and maybe touch down on a few things. Can that be the cause? What's the time now? Who we have watched? Cold. All right. I think, Ms. Tangan, I see that you arranged the institution. Is it a if I understood you well, is it possible to arrange them on the basis of those that Treasury merely needed to be informed and those that require Treasury approval? Because I think then that will assist our engagement vis-a-vis. Of course, even where Treasury had to take a decision, we'll still engage the department. But to the extent that Treasury has had to make a decision, I think it is that decision at some point that will need to be interrogated. Is it possible to do that kind of separation? I just want to get that yes or no. Okay.
So you do have your different criteria that they're using. If you say this one is 500 and you have to make a decision or you have to have the department, if you can just put it in that category so that it's known that what informed that particular decision. Of now, it is just figure. And figures do create a lot of discussion and interest. I was just augmenting.
Okay. No, I hear you. Is it possible to separate them, not to pay institution as you have done now, but in terms of the various categories where you were required to make an approval and where it was merely by way of information?
Yes, possible.
Can we do that?
I think when you invite the DG to say, let's come and you want it this way, we'll be able to do that.
Well, since you're here, I'm saying it already. Yes, we'll put it on the letter, but I'm saying it already.
No, it's doable, and you can sort it the way. The reason why we have put it in department was that we are only giving information. Then institutions themselves, when they are invited, like the conflict of interest, when they are invited, then we will give more information on that department only. If, for example, you say, because even National Treasury, if you check, they have their own deviation, which the DG will not have approved. It would have been approved by the CPO. Therefore, they must also account.
So the approvals are done in your office. So it's the OCPO that approves, not the DG. Comrades, I hope we've got that. It is Willy Matebula who approves. Where is his predecessor? Is he still in treasury? Well, okay. No, that's fine, because if you are going to say, Willy, why was this decision taken when the predecessor is actually still within that department, might actually be probably much more useful, especially when you want rationale. Why? For the person who took the actual decision to talk to it. Anyway, tomorrow SIU. SIU. No, don't be easily embarrassed, Tim. Otherwise, you'll have too many embarrassments needlessly. So, don't be easily embarrassed. No, it's fine, Mr. Stangan. Let's release you. I think we'll communicate as early as possible. Thing to me. Firstly, when the Auditor General comes, when you say the Auditor General comes.
Sorry, Chair. I believe that the camera is still recording. I don't know if we want to continue. If this is in committee.
May I ask if this is now a closed meeting? It is closed.
No. It's not closed.
Thank you.
In that strict legal sense, because to have a closed meeting we must apply to the speaker. So if we say it's closed and it goes out and chucks us out of a COPA meeting, then it becomes problematic. But I hear what the honorable protesters was raising about whether one should talk it online because the cameras are on us, or one to discuss it quietly amongst ourselves.
Chair, I've got nothing to hide. I didn't know if that was an issue. Your press officer pointed it out to me. I'm happy. If the camera's on.
All right.
May I make a submission?
No, I wanted to make a submission first. Well, two things. One, I was saying when the Auditor General comes, well, it is not the Auditor General or his deputy. But then you have two levels of people who come. One, you have the people who do the actual audit, the people who go, and then you then have the manager, the people to whom they report, and the person who does the final quality check and signs the thing off. I think now I'm coming to today. The two gentlemen were here. They're the ones who do the actual field work and then report to the manager who quality checks and then approves as the head of the OPCO, Office of the Public, OCPO, yes, who then signs things off. Now, what you have in National Treasury is that the gentleman to whom they are supposed to report was only appointed on Thursday. So, even if you had him, in terms of accounting for what was approved in October 2016, unless his predecessor was here, but I know we have had those kind of things, that kind of situation. But I'm just saying that is the situation that we found ourselves in. Was it a briefing or a hearing? Which came out. I'm sure it is, those are two terms that maybe we were not given substantive focus on, in the sense that a hearing is usually when you have an accused, if I may use that word, that unpalatable word, the accused in front of you. Whereas a briefing in large measure has an element of providing information. But even where information is provided, there is engagement. There are questions sought, clarity sought, and sometimes with the Auditor General, I feel we sometimes even go overboard, when personally I feel, you know what, maybe we should let this be. So it was a briefing, yes, but there were going to be engagement. And I think Comrade Boy would be at liberty, as any other person, to raise any issue that he feels and thinks is of relevance and related to today's interaction. But I think it is something that we should do with a heavy heart if we have people here and they have to go. Without us having engaged. But it also does talk to the need administratively to really tighten up on the responses, because I understand they sent the names on Friday. But I had promised Ntombi on Thursday that we'll talk on Friday, but I was in a meeting, in meetings the whole day. I was not even here, I was in KZN. I was in a meeting the whole day, so I didn't talk to her. So maybe we could have picked it up at that point. But the invitation had gone quite some time ago. So I'm just saying, so that we don't come and have these kind of things here. But let me start with you.
Chair, you know, this morning I just think was unfortunate. And I think it was down to a lack of communication. My colleagues here know that I enjoy an engagement as much as anyone else. I really do. Okay? But I arrived here last night, well, not before we received this. So this looks like a briefing, 100%. This morning we have these schedules. These weren't sent to us. So the question is who had these schedules? Now, clearly my senior friend, Honorable Boy, had them. Okay? Because he's prepared on them, as he should. But I just think it's just a note, one single line saying, please note, colleagues, that this morning is going to be an engagement. We're going to be going through the following documents. Then we all come here with the right sense of view. Now I come here this morning and I end up fighting with my colleagues because the communication from the management, unfortunately, hasn't been good. So, and Chair, I reiterate my call. Can we just go back to the focus areas? Before the hearings, we would receive something from Ntombi or from Ben saying, this is coming up, these are the focus areas, these are the focus leaders. Then everybody in the committee knows exactly what's going on, exactly what their jobs are, what they must prepare. That too was a good system and it was working, and I just think, can we just go back to that? And then, Chair, can we just have clarity on the schedule from now on out? Because it seems to be changing daily. You know, tomorrow is supposed to be trade and industry, now it's SIU. Can we just get clarity on what we're doing, and specifically, are we still meeting on Friday? Okay, thanks, Chair.
All right.
I'm not fighting
sure.
Anyone.
No,
I'm saying,
no, no, no.
Let's just
right.
Get clarity on what we're doing.
Right.
And then,
right.
You know, if we're going to moot someone, that's lekker. If it's a briefing, then it's lekker. I mean,
right.
I don't mind mooting people.
You're on camera.
Okay.
You're parliamentary.
Okay. Hello, camera. But the point is, you know, I've got no problem. Let's just talk.
No, that's fine. Just on this one. Late yesterday afternoon, because that's when I came to Parliament, I got this. That's why when I saw these other copies, I actually shoved them away because I thought they are repetition. Two, I had asked Domi whether were these sent on soft copy to members, and she confirmed that they were sent to members. Well, my email is not working, so I could not confirm whether it was sent to me or not. So I hear you. The problem is always fighting with departments to submit information in time. Even the ones who are seeing this evening understand their presentation only, I think, by yesterday it was not in. And even then, it was consistent follow-ups and banging to say, your presentation. SIU is only... today that we have a copy of their presentation. If they submitted yesterday, it should have been late yesterday. So I think that's where sometimes we have because National Treasury was supposed to have submitted last week, Thursday. This was supposed to have been submitted last week, Thursday. So, but I hear you and I fully agree. And on the focus areas, just like tonight, comrades, I think when we have FASA, clearly, whatever they will present, Tim will be the one to have the first bite because that's what he has always led us on. So similarly, when we're having National Treasury, my take was Comrade Boy was going to lead us and then we're going to. So, but in terms of the normal general hearings, yes, the focus areas will remain there. Now, I'll come back to the other questions that you have asked in terms of you asked about the program, which includes, is it SIU or trade and industry? Yeah, okay. No, that's fine. No, that's fine. No, that's fine. I'll come back to you. Yes, comrade. And then come back to
no. No, I was going to say it's just a matter of principle to make sure that Treasury sits and complies like any other department. It doesn't feel that it's being treated differently. But this is team with the information in front of us. It's enormous. And we can all start biting from it. Yeah? Yeah, I'm addressing through the chair. We can all bite into it. It's extensive. And this is what would be quite good of all of us if we had received the information quite early, that the focus areas like DERCO, people who are dealing with DERCO would have seen what DERCO is doing here and when these deviations are taking place. You'd have SASA, you'll see what type of deviations. You'll see Lipilele, the water and sanitation, you'll see what is going on there and the nature of deviation and what amounts are involved. And you see, it would have made us more capable if we had taken time to step back to relook at this information than wanting to couple it immediately. It was just going to be one person empowered and the rest not having to see the problems and the contradictions within the report. That preliminary one is more normally explanation. The one interesting is this booklet, Chairperson. It carries a lot of information. But I think, Chairperson, we should not move away from Treasury to put our foot down on Treasury. Treasury must learn to account. If we don't do that to Treasury, we must kiss it goodbye to a lot of departments, but it's not going to happen. Because Treasury has centralized power, and even on this thing, it is centralized. They are making decisions on behalf of departments, and you know for a matter of fact that departments come here, and we must confirm through solely that why did you offer that deviation? Now it's here in terms of figures in front of us. We then ask, how did that one arise? So it's giving us enough time to prepare. That's all I wanted to say. It gives us enough information, even for all other departments, to be aware now that if you talk about deviation, it could be 2 rand. And then you find that this 2 rand is making us to postpone the meeting, which could have been clarified immediately on the spot. And that for me is going to be the nature of it. This information is helping us. I didn't get it any other time. I got it through you and then inquiring from Dombey consistently that what information has been provided. Can I get the information so that I can prepare for the following day? That's all I do all the time. I keep on phoning to get the information from Dombey and the staff itself, you see. Because I realize when you come here, you must be well prepared. We've got ESCOM, we've got everybody here. Fisheries, it's nice information, but you just need us to prepare for it and break it down into departments in the areas of focus and we get down to it. But it does, Chairperson, raises quite a lot of other bigger questions, which I'm interested, I wanted to get more clarity from you. You know, when you do this deviation, I hear Soli talking about the Auditor General. I don't know at which period, but even in the explanatory note, it doesn't say that this time we refer to the Auditor General, and so that the Auditor General have a say over this particular deviation. It doesn't work in that way. It seems as if in decentralization of National Treasury, it's about itself and giving itself more work, not in consideration of what the Auditor General would have said. That's why maybe most of this other information escape us. And then it goes straight to Treasury. I don't know. I just wanted to get clarity. If you do know how that process works, and this is what I wanted to get more clarity from them, how does the Auditor General have a say of what happens within this process?
All right. Comrade Kunok, you had your hand up.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think we need to address certain issues that we always don't address, and it's a problem. And that problem is getting information very late. Your correspondence that you're going to be sending to different departments as and when they appear before SCOPA, it should be clear that if you don't get your documents before this certain period, then you cannot come and present before us, because it's a problem. At times, you find that, like Combat Boy has said, that you find that we're fighting for 2 rands when there's 20,000 is an issue. So you find that some of the things that we're supposed to deal with in that particular meeting, we did not deal with it properly because we're getting the documents late. That's the first thing. So please make sure that when you write that correspondence, do tell the departments that they should send information on time. But the other thing is that the DG is not new. The chief procurement officer might be new, like you said. He has been appointed on Thursday. Did you say Thursday or last week? But recently, yeah. The DG is not a new person. He's always been there in the Department of Treasury. And that's why I'm saying what we did this morning. I'm not sure why maybe my colleagues are feeling guilty. I'm not feeling guilty, because they were supposed to come in here and take us through this deviation. It's a thick document. There was no way that solely present. You could hear even few questions that you asked him. He was not even clued on those questions, so he did not prepare clearly. The last thing, Chairperson, is that our parliamentary emails had problems. I'm not sure about others, but I know that few MPs had problems with their parliamentary email. So I would suggest that even if you have the SIU documents, if you could get them now, because the new system that Parliament is introducing is really disturbing us in terms of the email. So you're not the only one who didn't get the email. I tried to open it at 2 o'clock this morning when I was awake, and I couldn't. So it's that problem. Thanks, Chair.
No, Chair, mine is just to amplify on what Kunong and Boy have said. The issue is the information. We receive information late, and at times that creates some problems in the preparations. I would request that, please, as indicated by Kunong, that let's have some timelines when we communicate with these departments, that we need this information by this time. Because at times you come to the meeting here and you find new information that is in the meeting, and you'll have to rearrange that is your presentation. And that at times creates some problems. I would seriously request that we do that. But not only departments. Let's also look at our site. And also with our researchers. Let's also try and tighten that area, because even our researchers also, they have a tendency of providing information very late, at times during the hearing. And we appear disorganized, that is in front of the people that we are supposed to question. I can see somebody smiling, but we need to tighten up that area also.
Am I not supposed to smile?
Okay.
Okay. Congratulations.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think I agree more with all what my colleagues have said. But I just wanted to emphasize on the issue that was raised by Honorable Boy on the issue of the focus areas in terms of the department. I don't know if maybe when we go to, I don't know when are we going to meet as groups, so that we are able to identify areas in terms of the grouping, because Chairperson, it is important to understand this deviation part. Actually, I did phone you yesterday, but I couldn't get hold of you. I'm sure you were on a flight, because I wanted to get clarity on some of the issues. Because, Chair, you remember when we were asking, when we were with Treasure, no, when FASA, the matter of FASA was starting to appear, there was an issue of deviation, which they said Treasury is not cooperating. And when we asked the question to Treasury, especially to the former minister, Comrade Pravin, there was, you could see that there was no agreement between the two ministers or department or Department of Finance and NSASA on that regard. So, Chairperson, it is important very much that we understand on how this deviation works in relation to what has been raised by Honorable Godi, Honorable Boy, in terms of focus areas, so that we have time. I don't know in terms of the program, in terms of the program and in terms of the invitation, when we have to ask them to come back, we would have fine time to do the work in terms of groups, which means to interlink to what Honorable Gagana has said in terms of the research, because seemingly it seems like it can be, it's not going to be Treasury. Treasury is supposed to come and brief us so that we understand. But at the same time, with us in terms of the committee, your researchers, if Chairperson, maybe they can try to assist us in terms of tidying them in terms of grouping so that we are able to understand it correctly, so that when we meet them, we are able to get the gist of it. Coming to the point, Chairperson, that I think I just want to appreciate that we have all agreed that the two officials must just excuse us, they must just go back so that we are able to. It's just to emphasize, Chairperson, that in terms of the PFMA, in terms of the department coming to account, we don't want to see a situation where as much as there's a technocrat, those officials who are here, there are technocrats who are dealing with this, who are dealing with this on, in the office of the CPO. But we know that the standing person in terms of accounting is the accounting officer. I think, Chairperson, I just wanted to highlight that one. Yeah, thank you.
Yes, I didn't have my hand up, but just a minute.
I was saying that the definition, to add on what she said on deviations, they should be equitable, fair, and profitable, and you look at the economic situation as well. So those things are just too long, and there was no way that the two officials could take us through. The DG was supposed to come and take us through those things. And it shows that even in their part, something went wrong as far as the procurements, the deviations are concerned.
Okay. Chairperson, yes, just in my final comments with regard to the issue that happened today is that as members of SCOPA, I think we need to reinforce our commitment to work together with Treasury and with the AG, which is a very important pillar in terms of the work that SCOPA is doing. And I think it's rather a sad day if we send Treasury back when they were prepared to give us the information session. And I don't think it was scheduled as an interrogation today, and there were no accused today. They simply came to brief us on a document, and we did not afford them that opportunity. But certainly, I'd just like to make the point that Treasury is central to protecting the public purse, and I think we should acknowledge that. And also with regard to the role of SCOPA, I think SCOPA is also central in terms of holding people accountable. And I find it also very strange when we started the meeting, you know, that I was also always under the impression from the strategic planning sessions that we had, and I'm looking forward to the next strategic planning session, where we can define the role of SCOPA as to transgressions on other levels, not on the national level, but also on provincial and local level. That we don't seem to re-divert our responsibilities and send it back to province and then wait for other national departments, but that we can call any entity of state who is responsible for irregular and fruitless and wasteful expenditure to account to SCOPA. And I don't believe that today we've taken the right decisions in two directions, firstly in terms of the Frieda project, also with regard to this confusion with regard to the tabling of the final Treasury report, and then also, as you've correctly mentioned, Chairperson, the low-cost housing in the Free State. I believe we should engage with those institutions directly, not redirect them to other departments, wait for their reports. We have an AG report. We have findings even from the Constitutional Court in terms of SASA. We're still looking into issues whether Treasury was correct. And I think the Minister in terms of Treasury, Praveen Gordhan, was quite correct to intervene in terms of being the custodian of the public purse in terms of treasury. So, Chairperson, I'm looking forward to our strategic planning session so that we can define our roles in terms of what is the responsibility of SCOPA and exactly what do we expect from treasury and where we do disagree. I'm not saying we should not call treasury to appear before us when there is mismanagement in terms of public funds, certainly in treasury itself. That we can do, but certainly as SCOPA, we need to recognize the very important role of national treasury. So thank you for the opportunity.
No, that's fine. I'm sure next month or October, we'll have our strategic plan review session. And I think all we need to do is just to take the rules of the National Assembly along, because they are the ones that define our scope. Always have them here and look at our work. I think that's fine. I want us to tie this down so I can speak to two or three issues that have been raised, and then we can call it a day. Comrade Boy, and then Comrade Man.
Not going to be long, very short. I'm just appealing to you again, Chairperson, as I've been appealing to you in corner, just to strengthen the point Ross has been making. Is it possible for you and the Speaker to agree that on the day of the presentation by the Auditor General of his report, can you call all public accounts in the country and we all assemble here and we get the same report together so that the element that Ross is raising of province and national and local government, we start tackling them as equal with the basis of information being provided by the Auditor General? It's an idea that I've been trying to plant into your mind. I know it takes time, but I'm continuously persuading you that can we reflect on it and ask the Auditor General and the Speaker to allow us to have a huge day off when the report is being announced. All of us assemble here in front of him, and then maybe when we finish, we can then break it down and see the areas of concern. Because those provinces and those local governments are really asking for assistance from us. That's why they keep on visiting us. Maybe if we have the Auditor General in front of us and we then start the process equally with them from there. I'm just appealing to your good heart and good mind.
No, that's fine. I grew up in the rural area. We tend to take our time when considering issues. Comrade Mendes?
Chair, now I think great minds think alike. I was going to make that plea that can we find a way? Because last time when the OR, not necessarily the OR, the OR Tambo was here, they presented a case to me of a 500 million, which was supposed to be written off, and they didn't know what to do with that because the culprits must pay. So they were trying to get information as to how can they bring it up to this level. And it's then now a local government, if you can assist us with that so that we are able to make them account to this level.
All right. No, that's fine. No, thanks very much, comrades. We do need these sessions where we can reflect, and not only do it when we do our strategic plan review session, but from time to time. I think one on the timeliness of documentation, certainly from our side in terms of the researchers, I think we'll take note of that to make sure that even if there are delays from outside, but internally, there should be no delays in terms of information being made available. And I'm not sure if maybe this is a point that we must carry at our stress plan session. An agreement in terms of putting time frames, that if information has not arrived within this time frame, then maybe let's not engage, so that we all have information in time. At least have 2, 3, 4 days with information to go through it, plan, and I don't know. Maybe let's tighten that up in our next threat plan review session. But I do get the point. I can assure you, Tommy and Ben follow up relentlessly just to get information sent. And you've seen how I can't remember what it was. The presentation was changed 3 times with a late. Yeah, it was trailer. Yeah. So. I think that part we may need to tighten it down ourselves. The third one around the Auditor General and the general report being given to the National Assembly as well as the province at the same time, and how that can assist in ensuring that when we have issues at a provincial or national level, we're able to deal with that. I agree with Ross. Maybe let's interrogate that more deeply in our threat plan review, but that will also entail, Mr. Saki, from your side, and maybe also within Parliament, to look at the rules, what leeway we have in terms of short-circuiting, so that we don't go to Pretoria and go back to the Free State, go back to Pretoria and then come back to Cape Town. I think maybe let's see how we can take that up and try to create the bridges. And lastly, in terms of the program, I think what messed us up was a request from Trade and Industry. They said tomorrow they will be appearing before before the Portfolio Committee, and the SIU was available to come. But again, I understand that the Trade and Industry is requesting a postponement for next week. I'm sure I'll follow that up today. Now, in relation to tomorrow, is it a briefing or a hearing? I think comrades will recall that when we met the SIU at the SABC and how they presented and how they showed the sense of having a grasp on what they're doing, and the possibilities that exist in terms of what they can do to assist in this fight. We felt, let us try and make time to have them before us. Let them talk to us. What are they doing? How are they doing what they are doing? And where lies the possibilities of collaboration or cooperation with them? So I would imagine that, yes, they are here to talk to us, but we must also talk to them. Let's not miss the opportunity. And equally, in relation to Treasury, yes, they're here to talk to us, but to the extent that they make decisions in terms of what they are reporting to other departments, they do need to be able to engage. So, well, SIU might come here and say, you know what, we are the best guys in the business, you know, we do ABCD. But if there's anything we know to the contrary, it is important to, it will not be irrelevant to raise those things, because when we say we want to work with you because we think you can do work, and yet there are lapses and gaps that have been identified or that have been picked up, it's important to point this out to them and for them to be able to, so that when we say let's move forward together, we know that everything has been clarified, everything has been cleared. Now, lastly, remember when we met with SAA, we said, well, we will still engage with them. Remember, there are sets of documents that we have requested. And I think if you look at some of these documents, each one of them will be a hearing on its own. But we also said it might be good if we make a tent, visit them, go there, say, well, let's see your supply chain, let's see your HR, let's see your internal audit, let's see what's happening. I think the same way we did with the SAPC, to say we are here, we are going to be here until these things are sorted out. So the opportunity that we have is next week. Next week is committee week. So we are suggesting that when we finish our hearing on Tuesday with the trade and industry, I'm yet to find out what the issues, because I understand that the minister wanted to talk to me, what their issues are. Are they substantive or what? We could then leave in the afternoon, meet with SAA. But remember, the following week we met with SAA Express, so we could take advantage of being in Gauteng to also interact with them. I think that's how far our program goes, but there are outstanding reports that we still need to approve as a committee. The annual reports are only coming in end of September. We may need to decide in the interim what are the things that we may need to do. One, there are documents from SAA that we have sought. Two, there are issues with water and sanitation that we said we'll need to follow up. The accrual, the Giani water project, and the investigations of Advocate Mutau. Yeah. So, between now and end of September, I think we'll maybe need to have a day where we can decide what we want to do, whether we want to have our threat plan early, or we can have other hearings based on the follow-up that we have agreed to be needed to do. Tim?
Thanks, Chair. Okay. Let's just go through my queries. Are we meeting tomorrow? I mean, not tomorrow, Friday. On our schedule, we've got to adopt reports on Friday. So I don't know if that's still going ahead.
But Friday should depend, and that's what I'll be following up now when we leave here, on the draft report.
Okay.
Yeah.
Then we were due to see Public Works next week. That is obviously being cancelled.
Well, I must still get what it is that what they are requesting, what is the basis of the request.
And then are we seeing SAA and SA Express next week, or 1 week apart?
No.
You're going to try and see them, what, on Tuesday or Wednesday?
Like one on Wednesday, the other one on Thursday.
Okay, all right, fantastic. So not on Tuesday. On Tuesday we've got an engagement here.
We're supposed to have an engagement, but that will depend on with trade and industry.
With trade and industry, okay. Yeah. Thank you, Chair. That's all right.
Sure.
Sorry, Chair, then one other thing. Apologies, Gummy. Tonight, can we just have a clear ruling on what's happening with tonight? Because obviously there's a big debate on today. I know it's our fault.
Oh, okay.
But the point is it's a big debate on, so obviously we can't leave until that debate ends. So can we just have a ruling on what time we start tonight? And where? Is it here or is it in the old assembly? Thanks, Chair.
We're supposed to be meeting here, but that will be reconfirmed through SMSs. Two, I would I would say, let us say we're meeting here immediately after the house, and not say 6 o'clock, because if the debates go beyond 6, we can't leave the house until after the debate. Right?
Can I just suggest we leave after that particular debate?
Yeah.
The rest is just motions and member statements and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So maybe as soon as that debate is
that
done and
debate
sorted
is
out,
done and sorted
if,
out.
If we still have jobs, then then we come here.
I suppose it will not be immediate. For the rest of today, we'll still have a job.
Listen, on that point, I did not unpack my suitcase yet. I just keep it in the car.
Okay. Are we going to vote ourselves out of a job? Okay, Commissioner, I want us to tie it down.
Yeah, thank you, Chairperson. Just on a lighter note, Comrade Ching, we're going to defeat you today. We still have our job late in the afternoon. Chairperson, yes, I wanted to talk to the issue of the meeting of the SIU that we're going to have tomorrow. Maybe just to emphasize that if we can quickly get the documents, and also to relate on what you have just mentioned, that it's an establishment of a relationship that you're going to have with them tomorrow. But Chair, to just to say, maybe we don't caught up one another with. And always when I'm on the mic, Chairperson, you're always whispering. Chairperson, always when I'm talking, you're always whispering. And
I'm addressing the very issues you're talking
about. I've noted that. Okay. Yeah, Chairperson, because you remember when we were establishing the relationship with the ATCC. Yes, anti-corruption. That's what it's better for me to call the whole. Because if once I call it, and it's a vice versa. You remember, Chairperson, when we're having them, we had a thorough engagement that almost lasted to almost like 5 hours, because we were trying to understand what type of the work that they do and how do they link up with whatever that we wanted to achieve in terms of corruption. So I believe probably even tomorrow is going to be the same thing, so that we are able to understand the work of SIU and what is it that they are dealing for. I think we will go into details so that, Chairperson, you don't get surprised when we are here raising hands, because sometimes I can see that we take you by surprise and you kind of like, what is happening? So I just wanted to for you to note that we are very much prepared in relation with as well what we have read in media and probably maybe our our relatives working around the
okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I just wanted to raise that.
All right. It's you, and then we close.
Good evening.
Yes, Comrade Knop.
Thanks, Chairperson. Just a rider on what Comrade Shirani has said just now. You find that most of the departments, as they come here for hearing, they always talk about forensic investigations. It's lots of forensic investigations. And I would assume that maybe it's what the Minister of Communications said when we were in SABC, that the amounts or that SIU is charging the departments when they do investigations are quite very high. So it's not like an easy thing to do, like would assume. So I think it's one of the things that we need to talk to, so that if they need to explain to us how much they are charging those departments, and we can force the departments to actually use them instead of using as a forensic company to do
that.
It's
fine, let's deal with that tomorrow.
Yes, I was just saying.
Okay, come with board.
No. I always want to
say that on a positive note, Chairperson, that at the end of the day, whatever you want to relate to the SIU, you must understand that we have an obligation to have consequences. We call the SIU because we want them to assist us to arrest people who are corrupt and who are making mistakes. So give us that space to want to know. But in the public eye, you are not only talking to ourselves, even in the public eye, does the SIU have cases and when will they start arresting people? That point must never be forgotten. Because if we don't have consequences, we'll continue having briefing and talking to people in a kind note and nobody getting arrested. And SCOPA will lose relevance in the eyes of the public. We must be careful about that. Okay. So I'm just saying, if they themselves don't even have one case that since they've been engaging us, doesn't even arrested one person, it's not going to work well for the public. I'm just saying that colleagues must also take note of that. It must not be so like friendly up until to the detrimental of SCOPA itself, that you seem now to be so cozy with these fellows, but there's no consequences of people who have corrupted the system. That's all I wanted to emphasize.
Okay, all right. No, that's fine. Unfortunately, I think I had misunderstood Tommy. For tonight, we have a submission by the post office, not from SASA yet.
The date, Chairperson, that the ones who gave us the date of the 6th, and they said they will have all the information, so they will be presenting together with post office tonight.
No. What I'm saying is that SASA has not done what they were supposed to do. The only group that has done what is expected is the post office. Actually, we're not expecting the post office to make a submission.
Then, Chair, why should we proceed with the meeting? Because if you remember well, the purpose of the meeting was for SASA to come here with the post office so that we engage with both of them. That is on the preparedness.
No. Even if SASA has not made a submission, they must still come. Because it is in SASA's interest not for us to meet. Because they must, by the 31st of August, have adjudicated and made an award. Now, if they did not do it on the 31st, then they must come here and tell us why. And then we can agree on time frame. Because if not, then they'll keep on postponing until it is no longer possible to replace the pair. I think that's what they are playing for. It's a delaying tactic. So they must come, with or without a submission.
Chairperson, it's a matter of that we are, I don't know where
let me just cut you in. Actually, last week, the CEO of SASA desperately wanted to talk to me to ask for a postponement. And I said, don't give them my numbers. I don't want to talk to them. They must come. So I think let's wait for them. Then they'll come and tell us why they have not submitted. All right, can we... unfortunately, you know, our machines in Parliament, once again, they're stuck. So there's a struggle with making copies. I understand it every day. So I'm told we'll get them in our pigeonhole. They will be sent as soon as. But that is the post office submission. What we have. All right, that's fine, comrades. And then please the National Treasury document. They're not going to change the content. It might just be the format. If you look at them, it is expansions and deviations. Right, for the whole year. and then expansion and deviation for the first quarter. So let's separate them and read them as well.